Show, episode number 357. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas. And Cold Coffee, I figured this would be like a special episode for you. I mean, 357, isn't that like one of your pistols, your magnums that you got hanging out of it? I know you're a gun enthusiast. Yeah,
how they say it, too. That's how they say it. They said, oh, man, I can't wait to go home and shoot my 357. What caliber is that? Is that a 45? No, it's a 357. You know, when you're hip, you say 357.
Well, that's how you know.
357, yo.
So is this, I mean, but, does this feel like yes. a special episode? You got to mark the occasion. You've been looking forward to this one.
I have it. You know, and it's funny. I have my 9mm sitting right over there. I could.
I knew
I could
it.
Show it, but it doesn't really work graphically for the audio.
I knew it.
Well, it's funny because there's actually a shotgun not too far away. You know what's funny? When people were watching my house when I was gone, I was like, oh, you did good. You locked up all the guns. And then when I got back today, or when I was here today cleaning up, trying to find some paperwork, I was like, oh, hey, I guess I left that shotgun out. It's tucked
Jesus.
Away. You can't, if you don't know where it's at, you couldn't find it. But I was like, oh, I didn't lock that one up. But
bro, if I'm house sitting for you and I walk in and there's a big gun just laying over on the side, I'm going to be honest, that might make me a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, I know I'm a red-blooded American male like I'm supposed to be, but I don't, that's a little intimidating.
Well, you know what we need to do to get over that is you have to shoot it. You have to just go out and learn about it. If you know about it, you wouldn't be afraid about it. Not to take you up to that new range that I just got a membership of. And you can go and actually, if depending on what it is, it's like first come, first serve, but I could take you to one of the things you can actually pull into one of the little drive-in ranges, and you set your targets up down range, and then it's just yours, and you can actually go and like take your time, and you're not 2 feet from the next person, so you could actually learn and actually, you know, really sort of get comfortable and then shoot it, and then you wouldn't be as afraid.
What is this,
I think
like,
that's what everybody, most people are about. Yeah, it's outdoors.
Wow.
And it's actually, it's on the way to Red Rocks, Desert Sportsman, and it's actually, they exist. There was a one-time land grant from like the BLM, and then these guys are like conservators for it. So, they're, with that, there's certain regulations, whatever. You can't teach for lessons for money out there because that would, you know, goes against what it is, but regardless, but yeah, it's outdoor and you can go and actually go out there and bring your, depending on what range you're at, you could bring your rifles, you could bring your shotguns, you could bring your handguns and all that other stuff, depending on which ones you're at, but you could take your time and actually, you know, get comfortable. Somebody can explain and you can get comfortable and then you can shoot at your target. Then you police your sort of ground, you pick up your shells and stuff, you clean up after yourself and then you leave and then somebody else can use it. But it's awesome. And it's less nerve-wracking than actually going to one of the ranges and then you're just in that big metal sort of box and there's a person 2 feet to your side and then you get kind of nervous and then everybody's just like, you know, I don't want to do this. You know, I'm embarrassed. It's a lot more comfortable out there and then you could take your time. And then once people, you know, shoot a couple times, then they realize that they're not that scary because there's not the mystery around them. That's what half people are scared about it. But that regardless, you would never come into my house and find a shotgun just laying on the couch.
I'm not that crazy.
I'm not that wild.
I appreciate that. That's good. Listen, let me just say first off, before we get too far into this, thanks for bringing your recording gear. I appreciate that. That's nice that you can actually take part in the podcast this week. I just want to just give you some extra love for taking that extra special step.
Hey, you know, it's the extra step. It's what I do, man. That's why I'm Employee of the Month.
Left me hanging last week. That's all right. We made it through. All right, let me give a quick shout out. Frosty Beverage this week, courtesy of the one great Cody Merrow. I mean, we're talking about all-star beverage provider here, the producer of the Anik and Florian podcast, of course, Weekly Scraps with Al Jermaine Sterling as well. Good friend and a guy whose work I really, really admire. And honestly, hope at some point in our careers we can maybe work on a project or something. But in the meantime,
I don't know if we can afford him.
Well, that's why we're not working together just yet. You know what I'm saying? He's on these all-star projects.
Yeah, he's giving us money. What a good guy.
That's a good man. Maybe somewhere down the line we'll be able to afford his rate. In the meantime, we'll just drink the frosty beverages. So thank you very much, Cody. Appreciate that.
And thanks, Cody.
Maybe providing some peanut M&Ms over there for you as well.
Hell no, I'm eating these motherfuckers. I ain't no one getting my peanut M&Ms. Yo, you're going to take it behind the curtain just like that. We had to slow the recording down after I started recording because I opened up a pack of peanut M&Ms that I found in here in the studio fridge. And then they were so good because I don't really eat candy that often that I couldn't stop eating them. And so then we start recording.
He's like, dude, we can't record right now.
I popped another one in my mouth and I started eating. And I was like, all I could hear in my ears. So we had to stop for a second.
Amazing. But, amazing.
Yeah, peanut M&Ms, man. I'll fight somebody over peanut M&Ms. Don't take my peanut M&Ms. That's fat kid food right there.
Oh, man. All right, listen, you made the trip down to Anaheim last week. Obviously, didn't get to speak to you due to the equipment malfunction, but I just did want to ask you. I mean, I did get a chance to wrap everything up on the and a half, but now that we've had a couple of days to let it soak in, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts, especially on that main event, because, you know, I rightfully so. I mean, a lot of people are really praising Francis Ngannou and saying, man, it's so great to see the evolution of his game, and it's so mm-hmm. great to see this new wrinkle that he's able to implement. And I do agree with that. I mean, I think he definitely showed some improved wrestling skills. You could see the basics of the jiu-jitsu. I mean, we're not going to be rushing out to put him in you know, Abu Dhabi, you know, anytime soon, or, you know, Submission Underground or Fury Grappling, mm-hmm. you know. We're not mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. he did show some new wrinkles. But here's what I want to – and I don't want to be mean when I say this or, you know, attacking anyone. And I don't want to take away from Francis Ngannou, but – are you left with the feeling that as much praise as Francis Ngannou deserves, that Ciryl Gane deserves quite a bit of criticism for essentially, in my mind, I don't want to say giving the fight away, but yeah, I feel like the tide of the fight changed after round two, and Ciryl didn't make any adjustments whatsoever and showed zero ability to get out of bad situations. And I think Francis deserves all the praise, but man, as I go, you know, further away from that fight, I feel like we got to levy some real criticism on Ciryl and his ability to react to everything.
Well, if it comes down to that, well, gosh, there's so much to address in that. I almost feel like, and I don't want to throw your boy under the bus, some of that stuff should have possibly came from his coaches as well.
You're
if he wasn't
right.
seeing what he needed to do, he should have got some clarification off to the side of what wasn't working, what was going right. You could see there was a moment in there when he tried to do some things, you know, and Francis shut it down, and that probably in his mind was like, wow, you know, that was what we thought would really work, you know, and you labeled it, you know, you said it was like, oh man, look at this new little wrinkle, but man, the Francis that showed up was such a new, improved Francis. It was, you know, talk about wrinkle. It was a nice pleated pants. It was a whole new look on the pants, you know, for Francis. I mean, he looked so comfortable and so confident when it came to try to take him down, that it just felt completely different. Like the Francis we saw, I would have think that Stipe would have had an issue trying to get down, you know, mm-hmm. back in the day when Stipe made it look easy, this Francis wouldn't have been the same. I mean, he's jumped leaps and bounds. And then when it did get down on the ground and he was able to use that jiu-jitsu to do some of these switches and reversals, I was like, holy cow. It was just incredible. I couldn't believe, and this is where shit, my picks are already off to a bad start this year. You know, I didn't think there would be that much growth. I thought Ciryl, I thought the cardio, I thought the power, sure. I thought he would go out there and actually throw hands. He was a lot more hesitant than I thought, but I also think when he did some things, when he did finally, he'd do some shots towards the middle or he'd throw some shots, he was starting to do some tells that Francis was prepared for. There was that one where you kind of hear the commentary here, you know, when he would go in, when Ciryl would go and throw some shots, he always was ducking his head into a certain direction. And Francis started then countering that with like uppercuts. So then that, I felt like that threw Ciryl off, and then you didn't see it as much. And I just feel like at some point he just started stagnating, you know, and that would have been the point where if he was trying to figure it out in his head, yes, of course, you know, when it gets down to it's mano a mano in there, you know, what he can come up into his head to address the challenge that's being presented will either win him the day or not. But the great thing about this sport is that you do have coaches in your corner to kind of tip you off to see. And this was the whole thing that France, you know, this is a guy that said he brought Francis to where Francis was before we saw Francis, you know, start working with Eric Nixis and all this. But this was a guy that didn't give any sort of clues at the time as to how to solve the problem. It even presented, and this is no slight on him, I think this was just such a newer version of Francis that even a coach that worked with him for so many years was stumped. You know, the power was there. You didn't, you know, even though you started to see him, he was a little bit more open mouth as even the first round, second round. So I was like, man, okay, is he starting to get tired? But then when I looked over at Cyril, I was like, Cyril's not looking that great either. You know, I think a lot of the hesitation, a lot of stuff that he was doing was wearing him down as well. You know, he was probably pretty tensed up. And then all of a sudden that was starting to sap some of the energy as well, because you just never saw the big explosions from him until it got to the very end. Maybe in the fifth round, he looked like, oh, wow, I'm really losing this fight. I got to start to try to throw some stuff. But it was too little too late. And then the fight gets down to the ground and it's just like, okay, it's not going to work, you know? So, I mean, yes, I think there were definitely some corrections that Cyril should have made. I think there were some areas where his coach probably should have helped in and gave him some clues and maybe, you know, if he was seeing something. But ultimately, I think this was just, it was a wonderful performance by Francis who looked so much improved that it was just a completely different fighter than who we saw come into, you know, the UFC not that long ago. And you know, it's funny, somebody at the end after he was done speaking was like, man, that guy really picked up English too really quickly. I was like, look how well he's picking up everything. Yeah. His brain is firing on a whole nother level right now. His whatever neurons and stuff he's on, he's learning English language super fast to where he's now, we don't even think about how, wow, when we first met him, we could barely speak with the guy. True. You know, he was having such hard time. And look at him now. He's soaking up the MMA. He's soaking up everything. And as much as, maybe Cyril could have did some things better, but I think anybody on the roster at that point that night would have lost to Francis, how Francis was fighting that night.
Well, two key things I wanted to touch on there. And first, and you said it, you know, hey, some criticism on your boy. And then you're right, because I love Fernan Lopez, man. Obviously, I've had a great relationship
with
that
guy. He's a great dude. He's a great coach.
I love that guy. But I agree. Now, I guess I'll give him some benefit of the doubt in that, you know, we only got little snippets of the corner. We didn't get the whole thing. We, you know, I don't have a full audio track of his full coaching.
True.
And we were relying on a translator as well. So maybe there were some. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think they went into the corner before the fifth round, and the advice we heard was, you absolutely can't lose this fight. We can't lose this fight. You know, I want to hear something like, hey, you have got to get off your back. We're even right now. You win this round, you're walking away the
champion. Don't let them get it to the ground. You know, do this.
You can't settle on your back. All those things. Yeah, and you're right. I didn't hear a lot of that. So I think there is some criticism to be levied. But the other thing was, and you touched on it, but I kind of wanted to ask you, because I was watching from home, but I was watching that post-fight press conference, and Francis Ngannou addressing all the drama, addressing all the things he's frustrating about, addressing all the criticisms, but what I thought, doing it in what I thought was a pretty eloquent fashion, man, and I thought just stating, I don't know, like, he just, I after that press conference, I thought, man, how can you not agree with this man and understand his grievances and understand his concerns? And, you know, I don't know, man, it felt like a rallying point where you're like, yeah, that dude's got a great point, you know?
I thought it was really surprising, too, that he goes in there and didn't realize that Dana didn't go to the presser. You know, he realized about, hey, that the belt thing, you know, he's like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. It obviously didn't bother him that much in the ring, but he was just like, oh, whatever. You know, I'm sure he noticed it and was just like, okay, you know, I'm sure he'll have something to say about it. You know, I'll get back to the presser and Dana will have told people and I'll get some answers, you know? And then I remember when Kevin was like, you know, asked him about it, you know, and he just kind of, I don't know, you know, you'd have to tell me, or, you know, I'm sure Dana will have to say something. And then when he found out that Dana didn't go there, he was like, oh, wow, he didn't even come here? You know, it was just surprising. You know, I think it just sort of threw him off as well. But, you know, what a range of emotions that has to be. I'm sure he left that night as well, still thinking about it, like, you know, what the heck is going on? You know, like, I'm the champion of this company and the president can't even go to the presser like he normally does. Didn't put the belt. Maybe I would have let that slide and just say, okay, whatever. I know we're in issues. You know, things are going on. He does want to put the belt, whatever. But then to skip what he never skips. Okay. If there's one thing that Dana's going to be at, it's going to be at the presser. You know, okay. So I just thought that was strange that, you know, Francis was finding that sort of stuff out while he's up there supposed to be talking about his moment. people were dumping more drama onto his plate right then at that moment as well.
But I felt like he did take the high road. He didn't take any shots. You're right. So I want to touch on this, right? Because just a little bit ago, before we sat down to record the podcast, Dana White did do a Q&A on ESPN Plus, and in that Q&A, he said that he actually left right after the co-main event because he had to deal with some stuff backstage. He said it had nothing to do with Francis, nothing to do with the fight, and he didn't mean it to be any disrespect whatsoever. And maybe. But then skipping the press conference as well, as you said, was he still dealing with something at that point as well? I don't know what to make out of this.
They run out of some water in the back or something? Yeah, he had to go find some new packs of water or something? Did they run out of, like, tape? Like, the Cutman ran out of tape or something? And he's like, I got this. I got this.
The toilet was backed up, and he's like, bro, move out of the way. Let me show you how to handle
somewhere,
this.
Somewhere the ice machine was busted, and Dana's like, I got this. I got this model at home. Let me get up in here, and I'll fix it.
All right. So, I mean, listen, I know there's a lot of business things going on, and maybe it was entertaining some VIPs or who knows what it was. You know what I mean? But But here's why I am torn on it, right? Because if they really are at odds, and he's doing this Q&A today – I mean, he could have just buried him, and he didn't. You know, he praised Francis, said it was a great game plan, a great strategy, all these things. But I'm still having a hard time believing. You couldn't make it during the fight because you had to go put a fire out. Fine, I get it. But as you said, man, the post-fight press conference, man, that's his thing, right? He loves to hold court, man. He loves to come out there and
give us the numbers, tell us how great everything was.
Yeah, so I'm torn. I know most people just be like, I hate Dana White. He's lying. I know he's lying. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he is. This one is, though, I'm having a little bit of trouble swallowing it. Like, okay, something was going on during the fight. Something was going on after the fight, too, that you couldn't do the presser, but you promised you didn't mean any disrespect. I wonder if it's just he did lose his temper, and now he's come back to it and been like, all right, well, I'm going to have to deal with the situation, so let me cut my losses and not bury him anymore. Maybe that's what's going on. I just don't know what to make of the whole thing of him saying, like, no, there was no disrespect intended.
Yeah, then at that point, I guess he goes all in one direction, and then at that point, you know, your champ is just going to fight you the whole way. You know, if you go in there and you go firing hard, you know, I still think that they want to resolve this, and, you know, they, of course, would like to see Francis fight again. It's not like they don't want to see him fight. They just want him to do what they want to do on their numbers and their way, you know. It's an honest just contract dispute, but I mean, it is what it is. It's not like I take it personally that Dana wasn't there, and anybody else that does really can't either. The only person that had a right to take personal issue to it is Francis. And if Francis wasn't going crazy about it, what right do we have to go crazy about it? You know, it's just, like you said, it is definitely head scratching. And if something was going on backstage, you know, all credit to him. You know, that stuff does happen. You know, usually in most pay-per-views, that stuff gets handled by other people. But if this was that serious that they needed Dana to take care of it, it must have been something very, very serious. You know, Dana's not going to go back there and try to do something, you know, unless shit gets real crazy. You know, I mean, it could have been guests that, you know, started a tussle with each other, and they could have been Dana's guests. If they're Dana's guests, you know, that's his problem. And I can see where he would go back and do something if there is something going on. But like you said, I'm glad that he didn't throw him under the bus, you know, in the interview today or yesterday or whenever that happened. But because that would have then been really all bad. And then I think it would have made him look worse. At least now they could sort of walk it. He gave him a chance to walk it back a little bit. And, you know, they can, you know, hopefully talk about it and move beyond it and see what we're going to do. You know, if he would have did it the other way, I think that he would have then at that point been digging his trenches. And at that point, you know, it's just war from that point on. You know,
that's I'll be honest with you. That's how I felt on Saturday night. Like, oh, this is not going to turn out well. But by Dana saying what he's saying today, even if it's not true, even if he's just making something up, at least it's like trying to reconcile. And now I feel like, maybe these parties can work together a little bit. So maybe it's a sign, even if it's a complete lie, at least maybe it's a sign that we're moving in the right direction and these two can get back on the same page. So fingers crossed that's what happened.
It's good at least he addressed it. If he would have went on there and never said anything about it and would have, you know, pushed it off and not said anything, it would have seemed much worse, you know. So
maybe it's a
good sign.
At least
now they can sort of move on beyond it.
Maybe it's a good sign. All right, real quickly on the co-main event, I did want to get your feelings on this. I've kind of made it clear. We talked about it on Spinning Backlit. Phenomenal fight. Fantastic fight.
Yeah.
I scored it for Deveson Figueiredo. I thought it was scored correctly. But I guess really what I wanted to ask you about is, are you in the camp, because it seems like it's split right now, Are you in the camp of, hell yes, let's do fight number four right now? Or are you in the camp of, hey, man, they've already done it three times. You've got Askar Askarov. You've got Kai Kara France. You've got Alexandre Pantoja. You know, they need their opportunity as well. Where do you fall? Because I'll be honest with you. I don't normally like it, but this is such a unique situation. You know, 1-1-1. I mean, that's crazy. That shit never happens. Like, yeah. I'm in the camp of, let's go fight number four. Where do you stand?
I mean, I want to see the fight, but, you know, I do have a bit of I do have a bit of fight fatigue over it. I mean, I just feel like, man, we've seen it. I would like to see some new blood in there. It'd be one thing if Brandon was lucky enough to have a chance to defend it against somebody else, and then we'd get to say, oh, man, yeah, he had a great reign. He did, you know, he did his thing. It's not like dibs. And on the flips, I had it as well. I mean, I think it's a great fight, you know. Then what happens if it's a draw? Okay. What happens if they fight again? It's a fucking draw. What do? We say, oh, it's,
gotta go five now.
I guess I'm on the fence either way. I really don't mind either way. I think the fight was good. I think the fight was great. Sure. I mean, I would be good seeing it again, but I also wouldn't mind if they gave it a break and was just like, you know, Brandon, you know, I'll, you know, thanks to you, but, you know, we just want to give maybe one other guy take another shot, or maybe just take some time off.
Listen, I don't think you're alone. And this is what I wonder too, because I think the only reason I'm down for it is just because it's such a unique situation. Like, we've never seen it before, so it feels like it would be this, like, historical rivalry that they're going four in a row. And it is a great fight.
The last one was that same way. That was what they did for three. We're going to say it. we can keep saying it again, but we just said that in the last one.
And that's what I wonder too. See, exactly what you said, and I think fight fatigue is a great way to put it. I wonder if fans feel that way as well, because part of me thinks the fourth fight would sell better than any of them, because all this...
Depending on where it's at.
Well, no, there you go. That's a great point. If you can do Mexico or Brazil.
If it was Mexico and Brazil, then okay, I'm cool, because then I think it would the whole spectacle around it, and I think the fighters would carry themselves differently. I mean, Davison was fucking off his rocker the whole week, flipping him off and just, like, taking it in, and I think it was pretty cool to see that, and that was in America, seeing Davison be the underdog and see actually fans sort of really supporting him. Typical American fans are just very like, I like Davison and I like Brandon. I'm not really going to say either or. This was a very heavy Mexican crowd in a lot of the areas, so it was very, very cheering for Brandon. So you got that feel like it was almost like a home field advantage. But it's like, man, if it was in Brazil, the Brazilians would be just going crazy. And if it's in Mexico, the Mexicans would be going crazy. Then at that point, I would like it just because I think the spectacle around it would be interesting to
me. Good point.
To where I would look past just the fact of, oh, hey, here's another one. You know, I would love the thing. It's the same thing when I think about when Conor fights. I love the spectacle of the whole week. I like seeing the fan interactions. I love the media day when the fans are just louder than the questionnaires, you know, on the mics, you know. And then you see Dana have to interact with the fans. And then you see the fighters interacting with the fans. And then we usually get some fun little moment. So if it was in one of those locations, then sign me up. I'm good with it. Let's go number four, whatever. But if it's another one that's even going to be at the T-Mobile or be anywhere in America,
that's a good point.
I'm kind of over it.
That's a good point.
But I don't know. No. I feel like a dick saying that because it's a hell of a fight. But I'm kind of over it, you know. And this is no slight to either dude. No slight to Brandon. I mean, but man, if you put it in Mexico, you put it in Brazil, and you say, Brandon, we're going to give you a chance to go back there. Let's fight. We're going to do something crazy. We're going to have. Can you believe it? Four fights in a row. I know last one was three fights, but this is even better. This is four fights. But you did it in Brazil. Oh, my Lord. I would be interested to see what kind of crew and crowd would follow Brandon down to Brazil. Would we see some crazy shit in Brazil? That would be kind of nuts. I would recommend people don't go down there and try to get crazy in Brazil, because shit is rough in Brazil right now. The dollar is even. Have you seen the exchange right now?
No, what is it?
It's strong in the dollar. It's like over. It's almost $6.
Oh,
it's
dude,
like $5.50, $5.70 or something.
We be rolling deep at the Churrascaria,
dude. I know. And then like the cheap beers that we would get at the little carryouts would be like quarter. 50 cents, something ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember at one point it was like when we used to go down there a lot. I remember at one point it was like for Hay Ice to a dollar, and even that.
And that was like one of the that was towards the high. That was like when it was like one of the high ones. And we were just like, we rolled it.
Yeah, it was like, dude, we're going to like the nicest steakhouse in town and having dinner for like $22 US. You know
with
what I mean?
Drinks.
With drinks. It was
with
crazy.
With drinks, all you can eat steakhouse.
Well, listen, Brazil, it looks like is out. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the news by now. UFC 274 in May was supposed to be in Brazil. That was the plan, but now it's going to be back in the United States. What I was told, and I don't know if the UFC will ever, you know, address this or admit it, but what I was told is that back in December, I guess Brazil, I don't know if it was, I guess it would be the Brazilian consulate that did this, the Brazilian government, but now, which seems weird to me, is I got to do more research on this, because I don't feel like their president gives two shits about COVID, but they passed a law that if you're traveling into Brazil and you're over 12 years old, you have to be vaccinated. You have to show proof of vaccination against COVID-19 to arrive into the country. And I think we all know, you know, the fighter population and how they feel about vaccination.
Well, Dana wouldn't be down there.
There you go.
So I don't know if he is vaxxed. Is he vaxxed?
I think he did get vaccinated, even though he's like,
I think he is. You know, I think as much as he just doesn't want to do the mass things, I think he did his due diligence.
I think he's
vaccinated.
Probably. I agree. So anyway, so I think Brazil's off the table, but I don't. I think Mexico. I don't know if there's any other business reasons they can't do Mexico, but that'd be great to get Mexico back on the map as well, man. It's something
because Figgy made it sound like that ain't going to happen for him.
It's
going to happen.
And F1, he's like, let's do it in Tijuana. And then he's like, nah, just kidding. Let's not.
Just kidding. Nah. Can we do heel?
All right. Last thing I want to say about UFC 270. You know, I do vote on the UFC rankings panel these days. I'm part of that whole process. Yeah. I'm fancy like that.
Yeah, you are.
But I got overruled. I actually thought Saeed Nurmagomedov should have entered the rankings. Right now, Rafael Sunsau sits at number 15. And no disrespect to Rafael. He's been around for a long time. But four losses in a row, kind of tail end of the career. Saeed, that fresh blood, that quick win. So I had Saeed Nurmagomedov at number 15 on my bantamweight rankings, but I don't know. I guess nobody else did.
You know he's not part of the Magomedov bloodline, right? You know he's not part of that bloodline, right? You know,
that's
you
why
don't have to give him the Nurmi credit right off the bat.
That's too funny. All right, listen. Should say, by the way, if you like what you're hearing, and I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, it's just a couple of good old boys sitting around drinking a couple frosty beverages and talking some MMA. If you like what you're hearing, do us a favor. Take a second to rate us, review us, give us 5 stars if you can, wherever you're listening. We'll take some feedback, whatever you got. Hopefully it's positive. And if you want to step your game up to the next level, you head on over to Patreon.
Send us your positive feedback. Fuck the bad feedback.
Yeah,
just send us the positive feedback,
please. And then
we wanted the bad feedback back in the first couple years we did the show. Now it's only purely positive.
Not
feedback.
Anymore. Our egos can't take it anymore. We really need built up, please. I mean, a nice pat on the back. A little, you know, just a hey there,
peanut M&Ms.
Good job, fellas. We'll take it. But if you want to step your game up to the next level, after, of course, leaving us some positive feedback and making us feel better about ourselves, head on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, where for as little as $3 a month, you can help support the podcast, obviously cover our costs over there and help us out, and, of course, get exclusive access to the and a half episodes that we do, and maybe some other things that we got in the pipeline. Been working with the boys over at the MMA Junkie Radio crew as well and talking about some things we can do outside, so you'll get exclusive access to that. Just like our man Paul. Shout out to Paul for signing up on the annual plan. Appreciate you, Paul.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Keeping the lights
Thanks,
on.
Paul.
Frosty beverages were courtesy of Cody Merrill. Peanut and M&Ms, courtesy of Paul.
There you go.
All right, listen.
Thanks, Paul.
A couple other things, Cold Coffee, just want to get to. PFL. How about the PFL making some news? Back on ESPN now. They re-upped, to be honest with you.
The number two organization right now.
Well, I was gonna throw that out there and see how that one struck you. Peter Murray had no problem throwing it out there. And I'll tell you what's funny.
Oh boy,
I'll tell you what's funny. So the interview we were doing, he just laid like he, you know, we start talking about the contender. Excuse me, God, I did it again. We start talking about the Challenger Series. I've called it Contender Series a couple times. We start talking about the PFL Challenger Series, and he, you know, he laid out, hey man, this is a perfect time. Like now that that we're, you know, the second biggest promotion in the world. This is a great time for us to expand, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I actually brought it back to him. I was like, Pete, I'm like, man, I thought that was kind of crazy how you just, you know, threw out there that you're the number two organization. Like, do you have some metrics that you use for that? I mean, how do you determine it? And he was like, absolutely. He's like, we've got wider distribution. We've got more sponsorship. We've got more rankings. I mean, it was not a slip of the tongue or him not being confident. I mean, I circled back to it and gave him an opportunity to be like, oh, yeah, hey, don't say that I said that. I didn't mean that. Like, no, he was like, yep, if you look at the distribution we have, if you look at the sponsorship sales that we have, if you look at the ranked fighters that we have, we are absolutely the number two organization on the planet. So, listen, it's bold.
Is he just taking ESPN numbers? Like, he's like, how many homes is ESPN in? That's how many we are in.
Hey,
that's how many we are
hey,
in.
Hey, I mean, look, he is kind of using that logic for sure, but it is that old thing, right, of it's such a difficult position for Bellator to be in, right, is because you want to take that Showtime money. Of course, man, if they're going to pay you a good check to put you on their premium channel, but the truth is, you know, that channel.
No one has that channel.
That's right. It's not in as nearly as many homes.
The programming is the programming in terms of, like, I mean, I like some shows on Showtime, but in terms of, like, where you get your value, it can't hang with ESPN. It really can't. And, I mean, I saw that, and it was hard to not laugh a little bit. But in terms of, you know, like you're starting to say, you know, the fact that it's on ESPN, you can't not pay attention to that. I mean, they are on the best channel that you can be on. I mean, they went to the place that has the UFC on it, for Christ's sakes. You know, that says a little something right there. So if you're positioning, so I guess I can't fault them. It's funny. If it feels like every other time we hear a promoter say that their organization's the biggest in the world, we hear that often from other ones that are like, you know, screw the UFC. They're not the biggest.
Right.
Yeah, they are, for the most part. But it's funny that now the contention is that the number two has been replaced.
It is. You know what? I found that to be interesting, too, because I know, like, used to, companies wouldn't want to say that. Organizations will say that. But I think even the organizations are just realizing, like, look, the UFC is the UFC. We ain't taking them down. But if we can position ourselves as the number two organization, that's not a bad place to be. So, I don't know.
Don't you immediately just start, like, tuning out everything else they say? Like, once they start saying, like, oh, we're the biggest and we're the baddest, I can't help it, but my brain starts already like, oh, okay, you're just selling me something.
Yeah.
Sell me something, you know, sell me, is this as seen on TV? Okay, where do I plug it in? How many installments, and then when is it mine?
So now the argument, now the argument's about who's number two.
Yeah, now, shoot. Bellator better step it up, man. Number three now. Wow. Uh-oh.
I'm looking forward to see. So we'll mention. So Bellator 273 is this weekend. Nolan King is out in Arizona covering that event. So we will get a chance to hear, I'm sure, from Scott Coker. And I don't know if Nolan King will be the one to ask the question, but I got to think
somebody's
going to ask the question, right?
Somebody's going to ask. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say about it, you know. but, then, hey, you know. But, you know, ultimately, I mean, numbers is great. I mean, because that's the stuff that they need for their investors. That's the stuff that needs to, you know, maybe, you know, the people that are on the side, like, I don't know what other organization beside the UFC to watch. Maybe it's the numbers that win them over. I think sometimes the channel is what's going to be what does win them over. So I'm sure that does them some favor. But, you know, it comes down when I look at it and I look at what the number two organization is going to be. Part of it for me is who is in the organization.
Right.
Yes, you might have great broadcast channel, but who do you actually have in your stable of fighters? And you can't say the PFL fighters outside of Kayla Harrison are the number two organization of fighters. They're just not. Bellator's got better fighters top to bottom than what PFL does. I think PFL's got some hella great fighters, and I love the tournament format. I love a lot of the stuff that they're doing, but, you know, if they had to go toe-to-toe, I think at the end of the night, you know, DC versus Marvel style, I think Bellator is going to kind of come out on top,
right.
You know, so in my mind, that weighs out to what the number two is, you know.
That's an interesting discussion, right? Because, like, because you're absolutely right. Like, you know, obviously I work with George on doing our rankings at MMA Junkie, which the MMA Junkie rankings, of course, are all organizations blended together. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are far more Bellator fighters in our rankings than there are the PFL. Right. But PFL can sit there and say, hey, look, we're drawing 300,000 or 400,000 people an event. And they're not drawing 300,000 or 400,000 people on Showtime.
True.
So what is number two? Boy, that is a great argument. You know, like, because I tend to agree with you. I mean, if we set up a 16-man Grand Prix with 8 Bellator fighters and 8 PFL fighters, I'm pretty sure in most every division, except for maybe if you know Kayla was in a division, you're going to see the favorite's going to be a Bellator fighter. I'm not saying that the PFL fighters can't win, but I'm saying the favorites would be Bellator. But if they're drawing bigger numbers, does that make them the number two? It is kind of an interesting battle.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's the metrics. It's like what's important to that person, like whoever's judging it, you know? Like if you're going to somebody, it's like, okay, you know, what's more important to me? You know, if it's a person that's just like that's wowed by numbers, wowed by the bigger things, like, oh, bigger must be better. They have, you know, 300,000 views. These guys had 150,000 views. Oh, they must not be the same. You know, where somebody's like, oh, but the level of the fighting on the 150 was so much better than the other one. You know, does that? You know, it just kind of guess, you know, it's like with anything out there, you know, depends on what sort of criteria you're looking at. But it's hard to argue with the numbers. Numbers are impressive. I mean, if they are getting double the numbers, it's hard to not pay attention to that, man. And good on them. I mean, we say it every year. We're like, man, is PFL going to be back? Are they going to get funding? Are they going to do it? Are they going to be here? So for them to get the nod again, from ESPN to keep the party going, man. Obviously, you're doing stuff right. And if ESPN's happy enough to do it, to go back in, they realize that it's worth something.
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN spends a lot of money on a lot of stuff, but they're not the kind to just throw it away. Yeah. So, you know, if people aren't watching it, they're not going to keep buying the product. They're not going to keep putting the money into it.
And,
you know?
And listen, and I'll add to that. I mean, you can't tell me that Dana behind the scenes, I know he doesn't talk about him in public, but you can't tell me that behind the scenes he hasn't been trying to tell ESPN, like, hey, what do we got this rinky-dink other promotion here on our ESPN airways? Why are they taking
it? Why are you going
to
confuse your viewers?
Yep.
You know, if there's going to be fighting on your channel, it should be our fighter.
They have.
He could easily.
They had to have been making that pitch behind the scenes. So for ESPN to say, nah, we want to keep this PFL thing around, that's got to mean they have some faith in him.
Yeah, or I mean, I wonder also, you know, with them, if it was only the UFC, that's an awful lot of. I mean, granted, we've been saying for a while that UFC is a media company, they're an entertainment company. There's so much stuff that they crank out, media wise. Maybe there's a positive part where he's like, well, okay, we don't have to program this whole channel for you. You know, ESPN's going out and creating stuff, but the UFC is putting on a lot of events to help fill up that channel. Now, maybe he might on one front say, man, you know, I'd love to be the one thing, but who knows? They might be like, hey, that's a little bit easier for us. Mm. You know, ESPN's not asking more of us to do more, and we're getting great money from them with the current amount of fights, which is a lot of fights. But they're not having to do all the lifting, you know? So maybe there's a benefit out of it or whatever. But regardless, if ESPN's willing to put their money behind it, you can't argue that they're putting out something good and that they're putting good fights and they're doing something right.
Hey, it was definitely their best. The last season was definitely their best season. So
it was awesome. Yeah. It was great. It was a great fucking season.
It really was.
We're all down the end of the wild. We're like, man, are we going to get some repeat stuff? The fights were great. Everybody watching that tournament, that the format is just cool,
man.
I mean, it's fun just watching them progress forward. And we've always said, you know, man, In a way, when these fighters jump into this thing, they already know what's laid out, the possible fights that are laid out.
Yep.
There's no guy, some guy coming in with the hot, you know, hand off to the side that's swooning everybody and that's going to skip the line. They know who's going to be up ahead, who the possible people is. There's no doubt they can train for all the parties involved, possibly that they might run into, and they know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something really cool about that I think the fighters are like, hey, I like it.
About the Houseman Fio story, right? Where the guy wasn't even in the field to start out with, but he gets the opportunity and he gets to work his way through and he gets $1 million. I mean, that's
crazy.
That's cool stuff. It is cool stuff.
So cool. It's so cool, man. And that's a hell of a fucking payout, man.
Yeah.
For them at that show to give out all that money at the very end, how can you not be happy for the fighters that make it to that, you know? And it's just so cool, man. It's like watching a sweepstakes winner. But, you know, there's no, I mean, there's a little bit of luck, but no, this is just seeing all the hard work pay off for that many fighters in one night. It's so cool, man. It's like I had tons of happy feels just watching the end and seeing everybody getting those big fake checks that said $1 million on
it. And let's notate as well that it will be on two nights this year, which thank God for that too, because they're going to fix that pacing issue. I think, you know,
pacing.
that finals pacing was not good. But hey, at least they're reacting. At least
they're taking what we said. Yep. I'm pretty sure we said it, and they were listening to us.
Just us. Like, we were the only people that pointed
it
out.
The road show said this, and we're going to change it. But that's cool. That's a great. I mean, I'm glad we thought of it.
You're welcome, PFL. You're absolutely welcome.
You
PFL.
Can send that check. Send that check with that money.
Let me ask you, Cold Coffee.
What's that Patreon again? What's that Patreon?
Yeah, PFL. That's Patreon.com/MMA Roadshow. If you want to. You know what? If it's easier for you, you can just go to Venmo. John-Morgan-400. You can just Venmo it direct. If you don't want to subscribe, that's fine. And look, if you want to go to Patreon, you don't have to listen to the and a half. I mean, I know that's where we gave you the last.
That's where it was. But, you know, that's where it was.
Anyway, I did want to ask you too. I mean, I know you kind of joke sometimes about the amount of fights we watch in the landscape, but are you gonna give the Challenger series a go? It's only four fights. It's on I think Wednesday nights. I think if I remember right, are you gonna?
Yeah, I'll give it a watch. Give it a go? I mean, what else are we doing on Wednesdays? You know, media days or something.
Yeah, what do we got?
You know, I mean, it's not like we had to do like maybe 13, 14, 15, maybe 18 interviews earlier that day. I'm in. Let's do it. Let me stock up on my peanut M&Ms. I'm good.
I can sense the enthusiasm in your voice. I mean, obviously we've done.
Is that coming through?
We've done three. Listen, I know most people might not be able to pick up on it, but after 357 episodes, I can tell when you're being honest. When you're being sincere, when there's real passion about there's passion.
Oh, there's passion. No, man, I'll check it out, man. You never know, man. Like, I think what's crazy and what's fun about some of this stuff is we've seen these products laid out over and over and over again, and whenever they try to do something different. It's worthwhile to, you know, at least see what they're doing, and, you know, and they always learn from it. Maybe if it doesn't work great, you know, they switch it up a little bit. But yeah, man, I'm down. I mean, but am I as crazy as you and you watch fighting nonstop? No. I mean, every once in a while I watch like some anime or like some sci-fi
that doesn't
shit.
Count. You know,
I gotta have some. Well, I know it doesn't count as fighting, but I can't only watch fighting stuff.
Okay.
You know, like that's all we do. It's all we do.
Literally all I
it's
do.
Like it's literally, when, oh god, it sucks. It's literally all we do every single week. And I mean, I'm grateful for it, but it's like when I can sit on the couch and I literally feel like my brain just turns off and I'm just like, amaze me. It's like going to the movies when you watch the big explosions and spectacles. Sometimes it's good to just put something else on. Like, I had so much joy. I was talking to somebody yesterday, they had never seen the Star Wars. You've seen all the Star Wars, right?
Not the new ones. Not the new ones.
But like, this guy had never seen me, and he's like, do you think that's something I can watch with my kid? And I was like, oh my god, yes. And we started talking, and I was like, man, it's fun to talk about something else besides just fights. That's all we talk about. That's all we watch, you know. So, yes, it's – I mean, I would love to – I'll give it a watch and give it a try. But honestly, I mean, there's some days when it's not fighting, and especially after media day, if there is a media day that day – the last thing I want to do when I get home is watch fighting.
It's
I'd rather
so funny.
Watch I'm Food Network or something.
I'm such the opposite. Like I did watch the end of that. What was it? Chiefs and Bills the other day. That was a crazy ending. Like, I watched the end of that. Like, I've watched a little bit of the playoffs. But yeah, for me, man, it's MMA, and it's so funny because like when I'm with a group of people and they're talking about anything other than fighting, like I'm just like. Lost, you know what I mean? I'm just like, So I think
I was stuck in the airport and I missed all those good games, man. I heard people chanting.
Oh, you had,
like, I'm too.
You had.
I was stuck in the airport. I had that layover and then missed the connection. And I hear everybody down there at the bar, and it was funny. The bar was like, I went down there and they were like the one that was in the terminal. She's like, sorry, there's no food. I was like, hey, I can do that. It's, you know, I'll just do drinks. She's like, oh, but it's cash only. I was like, well, I cannot do that. I was like, well, see you later. And then I was like, I'm just going to go sit off somewhere in the terminal and watch like Netflix. And I watched some random sci-fi or something.
So you just sat there for like 6 hours, no drinking, no nothing?
No, I had a couple sandwiches. No, it was in, I only had to stay there. It was about 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's
hours.
Not bad. That's not bad.
I guess 3.5 hours. No, they ended up getting, luckily, put me on an earlier flight. There was an earlier flight that when I looked, when I was on the plane, I couldn't see it. Didn't pop up as one of the options that I could pick. Mm-hmm. And then when they were like, oh, we booked you on a new one, I was like, where was this flight? Because it was actually 2 hours earlier than what I was going to be in. But yeah, then I end up just watching like some sci-fi shit. Dude, there's an awesome show on Netflix, and I know this is why you guys tune into this show, called Archive 81. It's fantastic. So I watched like that. I binged that whole thing and then watched something else.
That's hilarious. By the way, I should say, breaking news to the world, you switched over to the dark side for USC 271 in Houston, right? You're no longer an American Airlines guy?
That's it. Well, you know why I switched it for this one? Because that fucking layover misconnection. I was like, I'm so sick of connections right now with it. Because Americans, man, even going from Cali to Phoenix, where there's no weather at all, right, that was a pain. It's because the plane was coming from Chicago and that was turning back around that got delayed. And that's what threw it all off. And I was like, I'm so tired of this connection stuff. So for this one, I was just like, whatever. I'm going to go on Southwest. Actually, I almost even booked with United. But the times were a little weird. So, yeah, I just went on Southwest for this one.
And,
it's not saying that I'm going to switch completely over. But for this particular one, just because it was quick.
Okay.
And it was like two bags checked free, which I was like, oh, whatever. Let me just do it. It was cheaper. It was the cheapest option. So
you and Matt Erickson, you guys are Southwest guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm not fully switching over, but whatever.
this will be
but
the way.
But it is funny. Like, when I. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when I go, my brother and mom, when I go visit them in Nashville, Nashville's like a big Southwest hub. So if I do those trips, I might do a Southwest on those now or something instead of some weird connection or something. I'm just over connections right now. I'm just over flying. I'm just over everything. And the year's just started.
Just starting. Well, listen, we'll break the news now, I guess. It'll be nice. Cold coffee will be at USC 271 without me. I will not be making the trip to Houston.
It's crazy.
I'll just say not my call. I was completely willing
not
to.
Not your call.
Not my call. And,
yes,
and we'll just leave
wasn't
it at
my
that.
Call.
I might.
But we will have Nolan. Nolan's a strong addition. Nolan's a strong
Nolan's
addition.
A strong addition. I'll come help you pack your gear for you so you remember to bring the recording equipment. And
does that mean I have to record a segment there?
We'll still have a show. I'll be watching. I'll be watching from home, and we'll just leave it at that. I might end up going down there.
It's so hard to pack my gear because I have to, with the way I have to do it now. Well, no, I have Southwest, so I can actually bring a second luggage.
See,
I've been using my tripod gear. I've been putting all my clothes in there, and that's why I didn't have any room to put the recording gear, because I have I use my long bag as my luggage because you only get the one check bag or whatever.
That's funny.
And I'm cheapskate. So I put all my clothes in that, and so I just didn't have any room.
That's hilarious. For the other one. I didn't realize that was the case. That's so funny.
I mean, it's – well, because I always break down my camera, so now I have my carry-on with my camera in the hard case, and then I have the backpack, which is already heavy enough, and I have no room to put anything else in there because I have the monitor and then all the other crap in there. So I can't put it in there, and then the only other possible would be the thing that has my tripod and all my clothes. But, I mean, that's pretty packed full as well. So I'm just like,
You know what?
I can't do a second bag for the Southwest.
Maybe I'll just have to go down to Houston on my own and carry your recording equipment for you. So
well, that would be a good addition right there. That would be good.
I'm actually considering it. We'll see. I'll see how the budget's looking. But
when you see your moms. Have moms.
Well, that's what I
said.
I got family and friends down there. I don't know. I might go on my own. We'll see. We'll talk about it. All right. Listen, speaking of travel, I got to go to the airport. I am heading out for CFFC. I actually got to leave the house here in about an hour, so better wrap this up and finish packing. Heading out to Philadelphia for CFFC, so Saturday night. If you guys want to tune in, USC Fight Pass. We got a good card as always. Great main event, obviously, middleweight title fight. In the main event, Aaron Jeffrey, who you we've seen on the Contender Series a couple times, come up just short on the Contender Series. He's putting his middleweight title on the line against Rex Harris, who took some time away from the sport to kind of reinvent his game, fought for PFL, WSOF, and now he's back. But it's a great – I don't want to not give the main event respect, but the co-main event – Paul Capaldo, who was supposed to be on Contender Series, undefeated at 6-0, ended up getting COVID like a week before he was supposed to go on the show, and so he got pulled from Contender Series and couldn't do it. He's going up against Jose Perez, who's 5-1. These two dudes are top-level prospects. If you want to see some potential future stars, man, I think Capaldo versus Perez is going to be a phenomenal fight. So that's Saturday night. Myself and CM Punk on the call, as always. I want to give a shout-out to...
I was going
to
ask. I was wondering if it was just you and CM, because the Felder thing, that was just for the grappling edition, right?
I think,
it's normally just you two, right?
Yeah, I think Felder's just going to be doing the grappling events with this movie. And I don't even know if that was a permanent thing. We did it for the one time. I don't know if he'll do all of them, but we had a blast, man. Me and Punk and Felder was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it was good. That was a fun broadcast.
Had a good time. So, me and Punk this time. I did want to give a shout-out to La Adelita, the official tequila of CFFC, and their bigger brand, Legend Spirits, that also has some bourbon and some wine. If you take a look at my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you got a little bottle in there? Ooh,
they shot me a little care package, bro. They shot me a case of alcohol.
A case?
A case, brother. I've got...
Hey, where's our 50-50 split? Where's that? I got a fridge over here. You can put a bottle right in here.
Hey, you know what? Let's you know what?
A bottle of that tequila.
We'll crack open some.
Is it the gold stuff
silver? This is high level. One of them is an extra añejo. It's like 3 year aged, man. It's like, dude, I can't. I'll bring some over next week when I'm back in town, man. We'll crack some open and maybe have a little bit of
some tequila
next week. All right.
A tequila buzz is fun, man. Right. Tequila buzzes
are
fun.
We'll crack open a little.
I don't know if we should record on that, though, because that could get wacky really, really
then
quick.
Then that means we absolutely should record.
Maybe we should.
So check that. So that's La Adelita. We got another one. I don't know if this is going to happen. Check this out. This is how much the game has changed for your boy, John Morgan. We've got a new sponsor. And I don't think I can say their name yet because I don't know if the deal's all signed yet. But it's a clothing sponsor. And from my understanding, part of the deal is – custom suits for your boys. So,
whoa.
Yeah, I'm talking about
with short bottoms, like short pants.
Like, hey,
are they gonna make? Is that the custom part? They're gonna give you.
Do you guys do khaki shorts? Is that do you guys?
You're like, you're gonna be like, can you take the legs up some? A little bit more. Can you take them in and up about I don't know 24 inches, just mid thigh, mid thigh,
so
mid thigh maybe.
So my listen, if it comes through, my understanding is that they're gonna give me the old fitting. It may shock you to know the suits that I do have right now are kind of just off the rack. They're not custom fitted. So I'm kind of anxious to live the high life a little bit, see what that's all about.
Hell yeah, bro! I'll be on the off the rack for the rest of my life unless I win the lottery. Mega Millions, man, it's up there, man. If it doesn't hit this weekend, or maybe even this weekend, I might have to make another little trip down to Cali or over to Arizona and get me a little Mega Millions. Or where are you going? Philly?
Yeah, I'm going to Philly.
Buy us some Mega Millions.
Are there Mega Millions out there?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
When's the drawing?
Like, there's only like five states. The drawings are on like Tuesdays and Fridays.
Tuesdays and Fridays. Okay, I should be there in time then.
Yeah, if nobody hits, man, it's like over $400 million or something.
Ooh, yep.
I think we could upgrade a studio with that.
I'll throw down a solid $5 on that.
Let's do this.
That's awesome.
Let's do this. Let's go.
If we hit $400 million, Hathaway Production Studios is gonna be lit, bro. I assure you that.
I'll get some neon lights up in this motherfucker. Some crazy shit.
We'll have Hathaway Production Studio over there looking solid if we can get that $400 million. I promise you that.
I'll get a second fridge.
I'm not saying we're going 50-50 on it, but I'm saying you'll definitely second fridge. That's easy. We'll get a kegerator in there. We might have just a beer delivery store there. Like they just come restock it all the time or something. We'll just set up a commercial outlet where we just sell to ourselves.
Like
we'll sell to ourselves.
I like
all
it.
Right. I gotta pack up, man. I gotta go to the airport. Like I said, Nolan King, Bellator 273, full coverage of MMA Junkie. Danny Segura down in Miami. He's actually at Eagle FC, so we'll have full coverage of that Eagle FC event. And like I said, tune in on UFC Fight Pass Saturday night for CFFC. Yeah, that's it. No and a half this weekend because there's no UFC show, but I don't think it'll be like that for pretty much the rest of the year. So we'll enjoy it, and then we'll be back in full swing in February. And in the meantime, we'll just tell everybody, thanks for listening.